Thank you so much, Father Ben, and for presenting this class from our parish here at Christ the King for the sacrament of confirmation. I'm delighted. It's a great blessing to be with all of you this evening to administer this sacrament of the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to see Father Matt Marney back at Christ the King again, all the many years of service that he offered to this parish and to be here present for this liturgy. You all heard of Pope Francis, I'm sure. Anybody not heard of Pope Francis? You know, Pope Francis, interestingly enough, I will meet a week from tomorrow. I'll be in Rome with the bishops of our region, Region 9, for what we call an ad limina visit. A visit to the thresholds of the tombs of Peter and Paul. Every 5, 6, or 7 years, depending on the Pope's invitation, bishops are invited to come to Rome and to meet with him and to discuss the issues of the church and for us to communicate to him and the people who serve him in the Roman Curia all the good things that are happening in our respective dioceses, the challenges that we are facing, to have this dialogue with the successor of St. Peter. It's my first as a bishop, and I'm very excited, a little nervous about it, but I want to assure you that I'll be bringing your prayers and your thoughts and your best wishes and concerns to Pope Francis and reminding him of our love for him and our loyalty and our prayers for him in the very difficult and challenging ministry that he has as our Holy Father. Pope Francis is somewhat of a controversial figure. Sometimes he says things and does things that cause a big stir in the world and even in the church. But there's one thing, hopefully among many, that we should all love Pope Francis for, and you know what that is? He insists that we who are priests and bishops keep our homilies short. So we should all give Pope Francis a little applause for that. And so I'm going to try to keep this somewhat short, succinct. He also wants the homilies to be relatable and memorable so that they can help people in their own spiritual lives. So I'm going to try to reach for that and strive for that goal this evening by saying to you that I think I can say this, I can speak to what we're about using 3 words. Now, I'm going to say more than 3 words, but the 3 words are key to understanding, and they're memorable. You can remember them very easily and hopefully remember them tomorrow and maybe the day after. Who knows? Maybe for the rest of your life. The first of those 3 words is chosen. I don't think I certainly, and maybe you, don't think nearly enough of the very reality, the truth, that God has chosen us. God's chosen each and every one of you. He's chosen me for some things that are beyond our wildest imaginations. God has chosen us for the kingdom of heaven. He wants us not only to be happy in this life, but to live with him forever. He's chosen that for you and for me, and he longs for that, that we would share his life and his glory with him for all eternity. Let that sink in for just a moment. You've been chosen. I have been chosen for that life that awaits us. We've been chosen to be God's beloved son and daughter, and with Christ to be co-heirs to the glory of God's kingdom. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, reminded them centuries ago, and he reminds us in a powerful way today in the 21st century, that we have been chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. Do you believe that? You believe that from the foundation of the world, God had you in mind for all of this, to be born in time, to be given an earthly life, a human life, a life that has a purpose and a mission, only as a prelude of a life that is yet to come. And he had all of this in his divine will and mind from the formation of the world. That's incredible. That's almost too much for us to comprehend. And yet it is true.
It is true, as certainly as we are standing and being here this evening. From the foundation of the world, you have been chosen. I have been chosen. So that's the first word I want to leave with you. And it's an important word for us as Christian disciples never to forget that God has chosen us for greatness. Not an earthly human greatness like powerful or prestigious by worldly standards, but a divine greatness. Something that we would call a filial greatness, a greatness of being God's only begotten, only son, God's sons and daughters in union with his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, chosen. The second word that I would leave us with tonight is sealed, and St. Paul also uses that word in his letter to the Ephesians, reminding us that we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And that sealing is the first installment of our inheritance. God has promised us this great inheritance of eternal life, and it is this sealing of the Holy Spirit that's the first payment that comes to us in this life. And brothers and sisters, in a few moments, I will anoint you with the Holy Chrism, and I'm going to say those words above, over your head, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's the first installment of the promise that awaits us. All of this, not because we deserve it, for certainly we don't, but because his love for us is immense and beyond our understanding. Chosen, sealed. And the last word that I would leave us with tonight, so you know my homily is getting close to the end, is the word sent. Sent. We are a missionary church. St. Pope Francis reminds us of that again and again and again, that we are a church that goes out, that doesn't wait for others to come in, but we go out. Every time we come to Mass, the last words we hear from the priest or the deacon is, "The Mass is ended. Go in peace." And we do go physically, but we're supposed to also go with that mindset that we're going back into the world, having been nourished by the body and blood, soul, and the divinity of Jesus, in order to become a missionary impulse in the world, to bring others the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of our lives. That's our mission. That's why we're sent. Because there's a world out there that desperately deserves to hear that good news. And it's up to us, the ones who have been chosen, the ones who have been sealed, to go out because we are being sent to do the Lord's will. And we go back, we are sent to our families, we're sent to our classrooms, we're sent to our places of work, we're sent into our neighborhoods, we're sent to the grocery store or to the park or wherever we might find ourselves. That's where the Lord is sending us, because there the gospel can be lived, proclaimed. That's where we are sent. We don't have to go to the other ends of the world. Right here, in our own neighborhoods, in our own homes, in our own classrooms, are the people to whom God has sent us. Chosen, sealed, and sent. And when we understand that, then we know who we are. We know what our mission is. We know what we are to be about in this world. And we shouldn't be confused about that. We should be clear about that, clearer as each day passes. And this is what God has in store for you and for me from the foundation of the world. And so these are brothers and sisters tonight who will be confirmed in our company. Remember always, You have been chosen for this. You're being sealed tonight with that first installment, that first gift of the Holy Spirit. And you too, like the rest of us, are being sent as missionary disciples into the world fully alive because we know Christ and we have received Christ and we are anointed with Christ to be his witnesses, his joyful witnesses in the world in which we live. Chosen, sealed, and sent. May it be so.